Welcome back. This is Motivation Minute. We're a show for aspiring entrepreneurs who want to up their game professionally and personally in areas from business and leadership, productivity and networking, and everywhere in between. I'm Spencer Harrow, and I'm a software engineer from Baltimore, Maryland. And I'm joined here by Jiraiya Miller, who's an entrepreneur from Northwest Montana.
Hey, Spencer. Wow, that was a good intro there.
Hey, it's fun because, you know, we are on episode, what, 18, 19?
I think 19, yeah.
What are we on?
That's 19 weeks. Wow.
19. And we're having a good time at this, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're still going strong.
Yeah, we're not, I don't think I'm getting burned out yet, so we're good.
And we've actually got some really good reviews coming in. We just had two reviews come in the last week, which is like the fastest rate of reviews coming in we've had yet.
Wow. At this rate, we're going to have a lot. Anyway, I'll read one that we just got this week. So it says, I'm inspired by these two aspiring entrepreneurs who at a young age are brilliant leaders in the marketplace and take personal development seriously. Beings I know, both of them and their personalities, I smile widely as I listen to their latest discussions, which, by the way, are great. You ask which one I like the best. So far, I haven't done a 1 to 10 rating, but I do give them a 5 stars for excellence and millionaire mindsets, reaching for the stars and living each day to the fullest. Go, boys. You can change the world one podcast at a time.
Wow. That's fun. I love feedback.
Yeah, and that was actually by my aunt, Leona. So thanks, Leona.
That's pretty fun. Yeah. Shout out to her. She's an awesome listener.
Granted, it may be biased, you know, since it's my aunt, but we won't talk about that. We really appreciate it. So,
yeah, but you know, back to this week, we read Give and Take by Adam Grant. Actually, the author is quite amazing. He is a helper on steroids. He's got like a PhD in organizational psychology.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like he knows what he's talking about, and his TEDx talk was great. I love watching TEDx talks. And his has, like, I think close to 1 million views, which is pretty good for a TEDx talk on average.
Yeah, and you know, actually, he's worked, like, the way he's gotten the credibility that got him on TEDx is he works with companies like Google and actually consults with them to figure out how to improve, you know, the productivity of their employees, which he says is not all about just productivity, it's about helping other people. One of the things he says, or that I read in an article, was that, you know, we all have the same muscle to give to other people. It's just some of us use that muscle more. So He is a super giver, and we're here to learn what we can learn about giving from Adam Grant. So this should be interesting.
Yeah. I really love the simplicity of the book. I mean, in a way, I almost felt like it was maybe oversimplifying, but then as I read it, I thought that actually this is it's really easy to understand, and it makes some really good points. And he talks about basically giving and or taking. So there's three types of people. There's a taker, a matcher, and a giver. So a taker is obviously someone who makes sure he has his fair share first and wants to get something. A matcher is like people that, they want everybody to have their fair share, so they make sure everyone else, you know, everyone's equal. The givers make sure that others get their fair share first before themselves, and they look out for others basically first. And so there's kind of those three types of people. And your first thought is, of course, well, of course, giving is the best, right?
You know, yeah, we all think we're sort of givers for the most part.
I think and you know, because our parents told us when we were growing up that, you know, you got to give and share. And So we think that's the best thing. And maybe it's a little bit cliche, oh, you know, give and share, you know, and that's the best thing to do. But actually, it works. And the point of the book is that giving will make you be the most successful. But it's not completely as simple as you might think. It's not black and white. It's not about always giving or, you know, or some people are evil takers and others are nice givers. Or it's not about being a nice person necessarily. But the book, it really dives in and explains a lot of these things. So that I'm excited to talk about this.
You know what's interesting? You know, Adam Grant is so high up on the giving scale that, you know, he puts all of us to shame because I think many of us consider ourselves givers in a sense to the people around us. But you're not really a true giver if all you're doing is giving favors, expecting a return. That really makes you a matcher. And that's the term he coins in this book.
That's a good point. Yeah, like giving. I've heard so many stories of people that donate money or give, and they say it always somehow like blesses them. They get money back in the future. They get like it actually makes you more successful. I heard a quote. It said that nobody ever got poor by giving. So it's like giving almost has like a spiritual side or something where you get where it like giving to others is going to basically get back for yourself. The problem is you can't, like you're saying, you can't do it for that reason. If you're giving because you think you might get something in return, then you're not really giving.
And you know, the interesting point about that. So the more you give, the more potential you have, which seems a little bit illogical from a natural sense. But the thing is, the way the graph works, you start out with the more effort you put in giving, you start of have a you sort of have a slump between, like if you were to put no effort in giving, you would actually have quite a bit of success sometimes if you're just taking from people, because yeah, that's an efficient way to get information. But then as you start to give a little bit, you actually lose some of that success factor and you drop. And the book showed a graph of where when you get to be an exceptional giver, it skyrockets again and gets you back up to a very high level that's more than what a taker would be able to achieve. And that's because wow, you put in all that effort on a daily basis.
So actually, the more you give, the more successful you'll be. I like that because, you know, one other like a really important business principle that I really like is that you have to add value, or that's how you make money or anything really, is adding value to other people. You make a product that they really want, or you know, you have something that other people want, and that's in a sense that's giving. And the more you can give, the more value you can add, the more you're going to get back. And so that's a really important principle, and it makes perfect sense.
You know, there's a term about, you know, when you're giving value to other people, they call this term responsibility bias. And they had a whole chapter in the book about this where, you know, we tend to over-exaggerate our contributions relative to others. Like we were just talking about how, you know, we all feel like we give more than we really do. Like we don't usually give just to give. We often give where the other person sort of has something they're expected to give in return. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, there was an interesting study they did on marriages where they asked the husband and the wife, you know, what proportion of the marriage do you think you're giving into? And when they would add up the two figures, they get over 100% fairly consistently. So everyone tends to overthink what they're actually giving into the pie, so making up slices that aren't really there.
Huh. So we have a bias in our own favor. Like, so both people in the relationship thought that they were giving more than the other person.
Right. And what's really interesting about givers is they focus on the collective results, meaning they forget their full contribution. So when you ask them, how much have you given? They actually give you something less than what they actually gave, while people really? That give less like to overemphasize what they give.
Wow. So it's like the last episode we talked about how really successful people will actually not take credit for the things that they've done. And that's actually a trait that makes them more successful, which is interesting. Huh. How much do you think this is the way somebody is, like, you know, their personality versus the way you develop yourself? Or can you learn to become a giver or taker? Or maybe you're more, you know, based on your personality, you're more of a giver or a taker? Or how does that work?
You know, after reading this book, I think my natural inclination is to think that being a giver is a choice. So, of course, there is a personality side. There's people who are more likely to give than others just based on how they're wired. But this book is, I think, trying to illustrate that we can all be givers in our own way. And yeah, just through some simple things you do with your network of people around you that add value to them without expecting things in return.
Yeah, I think we can all learn that. I think so too. I think you develop yourself and you can learn to improve yourself regardless of how you are naturally, maybe. Because I do think that, yeah, there's definitely some traits, like in the TEDx talk, Adam Grant was talking about, you know, agreeable versus disagreeable people. That's a personality trait, being agreeable or disagreeable. And that's kind of, I think that correlates with being a giver or a taker as to some extent, naturally how you are. So if you're a more agreeable person, you're probably going to be more of a giver where, you know, you look out for other people more, you're just tending to be nice to them and agree with them more likely, versus a disagreeable person who cares more about themselves maybe in a way and is more of a taker in that sense. There's a study of like disagreeable people, how they actually tend, or takers, they actually tend to make more money in the short term, or they can get ahead faster maybe, because they can really get what they want, because maybe they'll take advantage of people, or they don't really care about the other person. They just do what it takes to get them ahead, get themselves moving. Whereas a giver, a natural giver, or an agreeable person is more, a little bit more, maybe they care about others so much that they maybe sometimes forget to care about themselves, and actually, I think it said on average in the book, it said there's less successful givers, or people that are very, like, I guess this would be more the personality side. Like if you're born a giver, where you're always naturally nice to people, like I'm more this way, where not necessarily, I think I'm more of in the middle, like a matcher, but you want to be a giver.
I think
but,
that's where most of us fall, yeah.
Yeah, but like sometimes if I disagree with somebody, I won't tell them, I'll just agree just to be nice. And sometimes that can be bad, because you can get burned out, or you care so much about, too much about what other people think maybe.
You know, something interesting you pointed out was that it kind of boils down to ego in different people, because, you know, the people who are takers, they just want to be the smartest person in the room. They just want to dominate.
Yeah.
But the givers are more receptive and, you know, under acknowledge what they actually give. And so they're going more for prestige. And they do that through their vulnerability. Like they ask questions to become successful, where they're sort of like tentative talkers, where they're feeling the room and not trying to be dominant, really listening to other people and just showing that they're human. And that's a really positive thing.
It is.
So I think that's
exactly
a big factor.
It is. And like I think we'll find here, it said that being a giver can have far more potential. So there was a quote that said, being a giver is not valuable in a 100-yard dash, but it's valuable in a marathon. So if you learn to harness...
Ooh, that's good.
So I think it's about being a smart giver. It's not just about always giving, right? It's not just about... Because sometimes there's... It said, you know, one of the rules in the book was, you know, it depends on the situation. You know, sometimes you give, sometimes you take, and sometimes you negotiate. But it's kind of about your mindset, or... I'm not sure. There's something deeper there about being a giver or a taker.
It's the mindset and it's the time you put into it, because you can say, hey, I'll be a giver for a year, but what good does that do after the year? So you have to make that choice to be a consistent giver to really reap the benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something interesting about givers is they tend to give to others before they even can recognize signs of potential in them. I found this fascinating, because they think that the success someone has is kind of proportional to the encouragement they can get. So, fascinating example was pianists. So, the really great pianists, often their original teachers were not experts. And later they changed to have better teachers. But the key in the beginning was that their original teachers were caring, patient, kind, you know, crafting interesting lessons for them that they would look forward to. You know, if they had not had that foundation, they wouldn't have stuck through.
Yeah. I think, was that kind of like adding value, or they cared? That's how they teach. The more you can care about somebody else, the more you can give, the more that they'll be a successful pianist as well, right?
Right. And it's like recognizing, you know, one thing in the book is how givers can overgive to the wrong people. But the thing is, they quickly realize who are the takers who really just want to take from them. They'll just stop giving to them once they realize they're not getting anything back. But for the people that give to the matchers, well, you know, the matchers are going to be more receptive to what the givers have and try to replicate what they're doing, because it's a new normal for the matchers to give once they're given to. So that kind of grows that cycle.
Yeah. I think, you know, some people have the mindset that, oh, you know, to get ahead in life or to be successful, you just have to be a selfish person, or, you know, or everybody that's successful is selfish or a bad person in some way. And I think this, and it kind of takes that away, that idea away. I think some of the most successful people, I think the majority of them that are really successful, that have people that like them, that have impact, are actually givers, right?
Yeah. It seems like the people who have the most impact had to have given or had significantly been given to get there. Oh, this reminds me, in the book, did you see a page that had like pictures of a magazine with the CEO, his face on one magazine, and it was like really small in the corner, and then the other magazine had the CEO's face blown up on the full page,
okay,
the front cover? So the whole point of that was that, you know, the giver was the guy in the corner. The taker was the guy full page front and center because he feels like he needs that attention. The giver doesn't need the attention. He's self-confident in the fact that he's giving value to everyone.
Wow. So it said, you know, like all three of them that can succeed, you know, the taker, the matcher, and the giver. There's, you could find successful examples of all of them. But I think, you know, what you'll find is people do not like the selfish, you know, the CEO who's selfish or who nobody likes him. And he's a taker. He cares more about himself. And you'll see that, you know, that's the general idea that you get of successful people is people who are, you know, who are selfish and self-absorbed. So you don't want to be successful in that way, right? I mean, sure, you might make a lot of money, but if nobody likes you, then what's the point, you know? Or somebody that's just kind of average or they're a matcher. They, you know, you don't really care about those people who are successful. But a giver who's successful, says it has the most potential. Because, like, kind of like we were talking about in Tribes, the book Tribes last episode, is because their ideas spread. Like, people want to be a part of it. People like the person. That's how you can form a tribe, is by being a successful giver.
Yeah, and we were talking about how Adam Grant, the author of this book, is like the example, the epitome of a giver. I was reading this article today just to read up on him, and it was saying that, you know, he teaches at a school, and there at schools they often have office hours where students can go meet the professor and ask them questions from classes. Well, he had a whole trail of students following him around campus as he walked from the classroom to his office. And then he had a open session where people could come with questions. And one girl's asking him, hey, should I work for this company or this company? I got two offers. And another person's asking him about, you know, career advice. And he would address each person. He gets down to the last person. He's trying to get out of the office and someone's asking him another question. He's like, hey, give me a call when I'm on my commute home. Maybe I can squeeze in a conversation with you or send me an email. And then he goes home and he's got 200 emails in his inbox. And he doesn't look at it as, oh, I got to get through 200 emails. He says, how can I add value to each of these people and plant a small seed that can grow huge?
Wow. And that's Adam Grant, the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
That is inspiring.
It's inspirational.
That is inspiring. Wow.
You know, back to the pianist example, something interesting is that we talked in a lot of previous episodes about success in general, how, you know, what goes into success? Is it luck? Is it hard work? And we kind of decided it's sort of a combination, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting thing in this book, there's a new factor that I wasn't thinking about in those two variables, and it was motivation. So, you know, part of the thing was for these kids that are learning piano before they become the greatest pianists of all time, the number one factor was they needed to be motivated in those initial days where they're not the greatest pianists. And someone who could give them the motivation would plant that seed that would become like super duper huge because they become the best of their craft. They planted a small seed just by motivating the students.
Okay.
It wasn't luck. It wasn't hard work. It was motivation.
Huh. So by giving, they could motivate the person. The pianists could motivate the others in a sense by giving, as motivating somebody is giving, right?
Yeah, just by giving motivation. It's like you don't usually think of that as a success factor, but for many of us, you just look back on, you know, what your hobbies are now. Think about the people that really got you inspired about that years ago and the quality time they spent with you to develop those hobbies. You really think, wow, that was a motivating factor.
Definitely. I guess so. Motivating somebody is a way to give, or that's because you're focused on helping them and not yourself.
Wow. When I was about 10, I think, or maybe younger, you know, so I've wanted to be a pilot since I was 3, and now I am. But when I was 10, I was really wanting to be a pilot. And there was a video that inspired me to learn to fly. And there was it was all about United Airlines. And there was this captain in the video who was named Herb Hunter. And so he's telling you how a 747 flies and stuff. So when I'm 8 years old, I find his name and I start asking all the pilots on flights I was taking, hey, have you ever met Captain Herb Hunter? And they're like, no, I haven't. And then one guy's like, yeah, I did. I flew with him over the ocean once. I'm like, no way. You
really
flew with the guy that inspired me to fly. So I write him an email. And, you know, I write, hey, you know, I was inspired to learn to fly by you. Just want to let you know that's been a big inspiration, and didn't get a response. So I write the captain of flight operations for United Airlines. And I say, hey, there's this guy, Herb Hunter, trying to figure out how I can reach him. And here's why I'm inspired to learn to fly by him. And so the guy writes back. It was like, I don't know, multiple weeks, maybe months later, I got an email from the captain of, you know, flight operations for United. And he writes me this inspirational email. Like, this guy is busy. He's dealing with big airplane problems. And he took, you know, 5 minutes to do a favor and write this little kid who wanted to learn to fly and was inspired by some video that one of his captains was on. And he actually sent me the guy's email. I haven't gotten in contact with the original guy, but, you know, it was pretty inspirational to actually get an email from someone who just, you know, truly giving when he did not have to do that.
Wow. Yeah, like giving, you think of it almost like a waste of time maybe sometimes, like to, you know, like, for example, Adam Grant in that classroom with all those kids, you know, answering questions, you know, answering everybody's questions and then taking all the emails. And in a way, like, if you use that right, like, you're helping all these people, which in turn is going to help you. So, again, it goes back to that. Like, you don't want to do it just to try to get something from people. But it's interesting how helping others will actually help yourself. Like, really, like, being a smart giver, you know, like, you give not expecting something in return. I don't know how you would put this, but it will make you successful by giving, right? That's the whole idea. Because if you're naturally very giving, you can get burned out because you help everybody, and you might still have the wrong mindset, because, you know, it said, like the graph, it showed that there's a lot of givers on the bottom of the graph, or people that aren't successful or that just don't really make it, and they're givers. But there's also a lot of givers on the top of the scale where they're very successful. And I think it's just their mindset of how they learn how to be a proper giver, I guess.
Yeah, and like Adam Grant loses a lot of his personal life because he's so focused on giving. I was reading how, you know, he works 6 days a week. Sometimes after he gets back, or often, he's working until like 11 at night and then gets up and does it all over again. And, you know, it's a choice to be a giver. And one of the hardest things is, how do you protect your time? What do you think are some ways you could protect your time as a giver? Isn't that a tricky thing to assess? I mean, giving kind of open-ended, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't actually know exactly how to, I guess, you know, we want to read that book. I want to read that book called Boundaries. I'm not sure if it's on our list, but it was saying, you know, like, you have to set boundaries. So if you're, you know, I'm sure maybe that's something that successful givers do. They have some type of boundary, but they still are willing to give.
Yeah, and the book also said, like, you know, on the boundary theme, you could just take 5 minutes to do a favor rather than 50 minutes. You could just take the simple 5-minute act of doing something which isn't that much time in your day and make that much of an impact on people. That's way more worth than 5 minutes.
It shows that you care. Like, for an example, I don't want to brag on myself here, but a few months ago, I helped my friend Simon start a website, and it did take a lot of my time. It took, you know, quite a bit of time to set up his website, figure out how it's going to work and how he's going to, you know, do it, because he updates the weather, or he does a weather forecast every day, actually. He's really into weather. And, you know, it took a lot of my time.
It's actually really cool.
Yeah, but it ended up being worth it because he's getting a lot of viewers now. And, you know, he has an amazing skill of with weather, but he wouldn't have been able to do it if I wouldn't have helped him with his website. But me giving that time is probably going to pay off eventually. And I feel like I have an impact, because now I feel like I'm part of his impact, because he's making an impact on people by giving very accurate weather forecasts. And I feel like I'm part of that impact too, because I helped him. And so by helping others, it like builds. Or like I said, a way to not get burned out is by seeing how big of an impact you can have. If you can see how you're impacting other people, that's what drives you to give, like, because you're helping. And like a good example is a guy named Marcus Lemonis. He has a TV show called The Prophet. And he goes around and helps these businesses. He's done over like 100 businesses already, like 100 episodes. And every episode he goes to a new business that's struggling, that's failing. And he basically goes in, he invests in their company, and then he basically turns the business around, and he helps so many people. And people really like him. He's a very likable person. Everybody likes him pretty much. But he did that by helping so many businesses that were struggling, and then getting them back up, making them successful, which in turn made him successful. And that's something I really look up to is the way and the way he does things.
Yeah, the hardest thing about being a giver is you can't keep score, because the moment you start tracking how much time and effort you're putting into one individual activity, you lose sight of the bigger picture. So you gotta zoom out and focus on, you know, what's the point of this interaction, and how can I add value that will transcend right now into, you know, a greater sphere that multiplies the time, so that 5 minutes you do for somebody becomes something way more valuable than you could have done in 5 days. You know, if you just give them one piece of advice that could have made such a tremendous impact on their life, that's not a big deal if it's a short time, but you make lasting impact.
Yeah. Like another quote that I like, it says something like, to make $1 million, don't focus on making $1 million, focus on helping 1 million people, or, you know, creating a product that 1 million people that like, or that adds value to 1 million. Once you help 1 million people, basically, then you'll be making a lot more than $1 million probably at that point. But
yeah.
So if you focus on helping instead of the money.
It's a different mindset too, because you kind of want to focus on the money. That's how business is geared. But when you take money out of the picture temporarily, it's interesting how giving is something that, you know, time is free in a sense. And so if you're able to give, I mean, you have limited time, but it doesn't cost the same way money does. So you can give in that way and make quite a lasting impact. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, there's some cool examples that he gave about ways we can be givers. You want to cover a few?
Yeah.
All right. One interesting thing was you could just volunteer 100 hours a year. So that just factors out to about 2 hours a week. And it's actually been proven to increase satisfaction and self-esteem when you just volunteer for 2 hours a week on something you care about.
Wow.
Found that interesting.
That's interesting. Okay.
And then there's even more practical ideas that you can do on a daily basis. Like you can connect, I guess, each week, two of your LinkedIn contacts that don't know anybody or that don't know each other. You could connect them and just email the pair and say, hey, you know, I think there might be something that you guys could relate on in this area and just wanted to introduce you guys. You never know where that can go.
Yeah. Another tip was something about powerless conversation, or it said, give away your conversation powers to get others on your side. It's an interesting technique. So instead of like always being assertive and raising your voice, or you know, putting yourself out there, this kind of reminds me of the Never Read Alone book, where in a conversation you're not trying to talk about yourself, you're trying to get the other person to talk about themselves, to talk about them. So, you know, basically right. In a conversation, you would you give up your conversation control, I guess, where you're not trying to get something out of it. You're really sincere in hearing the other person, and it creates, like, you know, no resistance from them, or you
yeah, it's
know,
kind of like empathetic listening.
Yeah, yeah.
I have another cool one from, you know, every week when I go into work, I can listen to a radio station that broadcasts up from DC, and it's got this program on Thursdays called, I think, Drive Through Thursday, and the whole idea is you pay for the person behind you just as a blessing to them. That is so
wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I had a friend who told me he was given that opportunity where, like, the person in front of him paid for his meal, and then the drive-through attendant said, hey, would you like to pay for the person behind you? So it became this multiplicative effect where, of course, he said yes. And so you're paying for everyone's meal behind you. It makes you feel so good when you're given in that way, and then you can give to others.
That'd be cool if everybody did that for like a whole day. Everybody would feel, because that way, really, nobody would have saved any money except the last person, but everybody would have felt so much better about themselves.
And it took one person's small decision to start it.
So,
how about
that's
us?
That's interesting, because think about it. The first guy paid, then the second guy paid, then the third guy paid. So they actually didn't save any money, really. So it's not like they saved money. That's not what made them happy. But it was the
fact...
Yeah,
it's not saving money, that's the point, right?
It was the fact that they helped the last person and gave. And giving, yeah, giving also makes you feel good. Like, it's better to give than to receive. Like, actually, it's true. Like, giving something to someone makes you feel really good.
Yeah, so just some practical tips that are some great ways to get started with giving, and that you can start right now, where you can just give in a small way and build up.
And kind of have that bigger mindset of what can you create that adds value to other people? What can you create that other people want if you're interested in a business? Or even at a job, anything. You know, if you're working at a job, how can you create something that's going to be valuable to your employer or coworkers or something? And that's going to help you be successful. So it really, if you're just focused on yourself, really, you won't, you know, in a sense, think about this. You could be doing the same thing, being self-centered. So, you know, you're a taker, and you think, okay, so the way I'm going to get ahead is I'm going to help this person, and that's going to make me move up
right.
the ladder. And so you kind of do the same things in a way that you would be doing as a giver, but you're doing it for yourself. That's when people are going to sense that, and they're not going to like you, and it's going to be a different way of going about things.
It kind of boils down to what's your attitude. You get your attitude right, and then the actions will all fall into place.
Huh, I like that. Wow.
Take on like a selfless giving posture in a sense.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, this is an insightful conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, this was really fun.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot from you as well, from your notes. It's cool.
You too. We get two different perspectives every week. It's really good.
You know, I would almost recommend if somebody wants to learn or read books and remember things, like start your own podcast or write notes or something, because just reading it, I wouldn't learn nearly as much as I am writing the notes and then talking about it. You know, I remember so much more and learn so much more than I would have just with my own notes.
Well, yeah. Well, wait, we don't need more competition. So call us if you want to join the podcast, and we'll have you on as a guest.
We don't want any more any competition. So just kidding, man.
No, everyone, it's so fun to have you guys listening, and we do appreciate your feedback. So if you can leave us a review on iTunes, we love hearing from you. And we're going to have a giveaway pretty soon for a free book or a chance to show up on the podcast as a guest. So the prizes are awesome and your odds are really good. So get your reviews up there. We'd love to see them.
Yeah. And also download the checklist on our website of how you can read a book in 3 hours or less. We're also thinking about having a schedule for our books so people can see the upcoming books maybe. So that way, maybe if you'd want to see the book that we're going to talk about in an upcoming episode, then you could read it as well. Or skim through it as well, you know, so you have context. Maybe we'll do something like that in the future.
Yeah, we could put it on our website, or send us any ideas if you have a way you'd like that delivered to you. We could do it in an email list or something, whatever floats your boat. All right, we'll look forward to next week.
All right, bye, guys.